The opinions expressed on Three's Company are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Hello and welcome back, everyone, to episode 3 of Three's Company. I'm Tony. Alongside me are Evan and Chris, and we got a pretty packed episode for you here today. A lot of stuff in week 2 of the NBA. Still all very excited that it's back after finally that long offseason. Same every year, but just feels so long. Talk about that first week, first and second week. At the time of recording, it's Sunday, November 3rd. Get into some of our way too early favorites, you know. Chris, you want to start us off with what are your thoughts on the last week?
Some of the things that have been going on this last week include, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell getting that game winner over last night over the Bucks, and Giannis staying in the corner guarding George Niang instead of, you know, helping on the contested shot.
I've always said this. This dude is a glorified help defender. Like, sorry, he's not a good primary defender. He's only a good help defender.
I know, but like,
on the ball, he's not that good. And why are you guarding the most unathletic player in the league?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying get the ball out of Donovan Mitchell's hands there and force George Niang to hit a shot to end the game, not Donovan.
Yeah, it's just the way that Darvin Ham and Doc Rivers drew it up. It's, you know, as if fire and fire were a coaching duo. And I mean, the Bucks have just, they've been awful though. Like they just can't seem to win a game. You know, we said they're 1-5 and their only win came against a depleted 76ers squad, and they've had some ugly losses, obviously last night, but then also getting blitzed by Memphis on the road, losing to Brooklyn on the road too, and even to Chicago at home. Just some really, you know, inexcusable losses here. And Doc Rivers, I've said it for so long, is like the most overrated coach in the NBA. And then he adds one of the worst coaches in Darvin Ham. Like, I think this is his final stop. Like, if they don't do anything here, like, I think he's done coaching. Yeah, I think this is it. Like, I think this season's his last chance, because I don't see a team like firing their head coach and then bringing in Doc Rivers and saying that this is a better option. And it's just like, even the way that they're playing their lineups, like Stevie Wonder could have looked Doc Rivers in the eye and said, Torian Prince does not deserve to be playing 33 minutes a game. Like, their defense also is just, Lillard doesn't play defense. Torian Prince doesn't play defense. Gary Trent Jr. doesn't play defense. And then you also have Brooke Lopez, who should have retired like a couple years ago.
Chris, what's one team you kind of like looking at right now and you're thinking,
I got to talk about OKC, you know, they just have the perfect team. Everybody's clicking on that team right now. SGA, Chet, Jalen, J-Dub, and Lou Dort. And Alex Caruso hasn't even been playing good right now, like offensively, but Caruso's still such a solid piece out there defensively. He's going to get votes for Defensive Player of the Year just because of how much of a difference maker he is on that side of the court. The last couple of years, he's been in the running, finishing 11th and 10th in DPOY. And now, you know, this year on OKC, averaging almost 2 steals and a block off the bench. Caruso's been so huge for them. And it goes to show you didn't need Josh Giddey in there just to be another ball handler, because SGA and J-Dub can handle that. And Caruso can even handle the ball a bit on his own. But just how good he is defensively is such another level to this OKC team without Isaiah Hartenstein, by the way.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. They're 6-0 now without Hartenstein.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They're doing so much work. One team for me, though, I say the Suns, man. Like, I know people don't like them, and, like, that's understandable, but, man, they've completely changed how they were last year. Last year, they were they were the worst team in the fourth quarter by a long shot. And then this year, they have been fantastic. Like, they're winning fourth quarters. They're 5-1 right now. Like, Tyus Jones, he stepped in when Bradley Beal's hurt the other day. He had 11 or 12 assists, I forget. He was 11. Great. Devin Booker, he's turning around. Like, he had a pretty slow start, to be fair. But now he's been really good. KD, he's Kevin Durant, right? Ryan Dunn, oh my gosh. I saw this thing. You know, there's a torture chamber in OKC with Lou Dort.
Yeah.
Now we have the dungeon with Ryan Dunn. I think that's super sick. There was a lot of talk of him. I remember early in just before the season started, I think about like a month before, a lot of people were saying, like, if this guy develops a good shot, he will be one of the most lethal, like, 3-and-D wings. And that's what he looks like right now. Like, he looks gross. And that's so big. That's the one thing the Suns have been missing for a while. Like, that one wing play. Like, we saw that with Mikal Bridges a few years ago. when he stepped up and like just became that amazing all defense type player, and he could score. So Ryan Dunn's kind of filling in that void. And the Suns, they look great. They look great. I'm very happy to see that. 5-1, man. They look gross.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I know their record isn't that great, but you know, I still really like the New York Knicks. I think they're finally, you know, kind of piecing this roster together. Karl Anthony Towns looks like a monster right now at the center position, averaging, you know, 22 points, 11 rebounds, a couple of assists as well. Once they actually get into the groove of things, I mean, this team is deep. I think their bench is kind of worrisome. Like they have Miles McBride coming off the bench, obviously, and Cameron Payne coming off the bench. But outside of that, I mean, they traded almost everyone else in order to get Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. But the way that they run their offense is just, you know, it's your starters. And if the bench can give you 10 points, then God bless America. But
Well, you know how Tibbs is. He's running his starters 40 minutes a game.
Yeah,
So
I mean, you look at like, yeah, no start. Like, Mikal Bridges at 37 minutes, Josh Hart's at 36 minutes, OG's at 35 minutes. OG's leg is going to be barbecue chicken in about a month. But I still think just like the way that they play and the defensive weapons that they have with OG and Mikal, and I mean, even Cat to a certain extent, like, I think this team's really good. I don't say the Cavs just because I'm kind of waiting for them to crash and burn. Like, I don't think they can really keep up
frauds,
this.
calling frauds.
I'm not calling them frauds, but we've seen Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs and he consistently comes up short. I just look at it where if Darius Garland isn't getting you points, he's a point guard, obviously, but we don't really see a lot of games where Garland's getting like 7, 8 assists a night and his shot is inconsistent at times.
I think there's a shot for. Like Cleveland's going to do good in the regular season, but I don't know if I really trust them in the playoffs just because we know what Donovan Mitchell's going to do. He could drop 30 in a playoff series per game, but it's just the rest of the roster isn't that solidified. Like Evan Mobley's had times in the playoffs where he looks scared. There's that one quote that Jared Allen said 2 years ago against the Knicks where he said the lights were brighter than expected, and that's just meme to everywhere on Twitter whenever
Yeah.
something happens. I think there is an issue with this team, and I think I can attribute it kind of sort of to where the Raptors were, where there's these kind of things where I think eventually they're going to have to trade Jared Allen, and they're going to need to get some better guard play off the bench. You know, Caris LeVert is a decent player, but I don't know if I could really trust him as the sixth man of a team, like to carry a bench unit. I think you need more consistent guard play. I think one piece would be really nice for them to pick up is go to the Jazz and start looking at some of the players on their roster. Jordan Clarkson, he's eventually going to have to get traded. I'd see a reunion where him going back to Cleveland would kind of be a nice fit.
I'd rather trade Mobley. I think you got to trade. I'd rather trade Mobley, and because you could probably get more for him than Jared Allen. I was kind of confused when the Cavs gave Mobley that massive contract because I thought they were for sure gonna get rid of him. Like, to your point, you could honestly go to the Jazz and you could get a haul because for whatever reason they actually have like a lot of nice complimentary pieces, even a guy like a Colin Sexton or something off like, or low key go to the Brooklyn Nets and see what you could get for Dent, like see if, like if you could bring Cam Johnson or like Dennis Schroeder in a
Cam
package,
Johnson would be nice. Get
like if you
Cam
could,
Johnson at the three. Oh,
I mean, you could.
I like that.
I think the Cavs, like, although they're 7-0, if they move off Mobley and attack some of these teams that obviously, like, the Nets would gladly trade anyone because they want Cooper Flagg. But, like, if you can get Schroeder, Johnson, and, like, someone else and a couple picks back, maybe, I don't know what you do, but you got to get some more bench pieces because right now it's just Caris LeVert. And then I guess the only other notable player would be George Niang. Like, their bench is nothing really too notable.
Next up, some teams that we got to worry about here. Obviously, a few teams, slow starts. We talked about some hot starts, but Evan, why don't you give me a big team you're just looking at right now? Let's avoid the Bucks, though. We all know that one. That's a bad one.
We'll avoid the Bucks. All right. I guess we can avoid the Bucks when it comes to biggest worries. I can't say the Sixers just because I had already picked. I'm gonna go with the Denver Nuggets here. I'm still like,
Probably gonna break it up if they don't win the championship.
I fully agree with that because this is now gonna be their 4th year in the luxury tax, and it's a team that doesn't go into the luxury tax too often. And I mean, Jamal Murray, if he played the Lakers every night, he would be Michael Jordan. But outside of playing the Lakers, he has just not lived up to the $200 million that they offered him. And I'm still gonna harp on their bench. Like, their bench unit is just, it's so bad. With like, Payton Watson's really good. I think he's a really good defender as well. I think he's kind of underrated, but DeAndre Jordan should not be playing. I mean, they have like Dario Saric as well. They've kind of just been mix and matching their bench with, I mean, Saric hasn't really done much. Russell Westbrook hasn't really done much. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Tony, but Russell Westbrook has not, outside of a weird game that he had against the Brooklyn Nets a couple nights ago, 2 of 11, 1 of 8, then he had the 5 of 12, then 3 of 7, 0 of 8, 2 of 10. Like, he's still shooting 23% from the field. Their bench unit is just getting blitzed. And if Nikola Jokic isn't on the court, they have no shot.
Chris, you? What's the team you kind of have your eye on?
Yeah,
And uh-oh.
I'm kind of worrying, and this is kind of going into a topic that we're going to talk about later, but I'm going to say the Orlando Magic right now just because you're losing Paolo for 4 to 6 weeks, and that's the minimum, like, because it's a completely torn right oblique, and you don't know how he's going to react to treatment. They're currently down 30 to the Mavericks at the end of the third quarter, and it's just like they're going to lose a lot of games in this time span because I don't think Franz Wagner can carry a team by himself.
He's not the number one option.
You don't have Powell, you don't have that star player. And from a team that I was super high on going into the year, because you took Cleveland to game 7 last year, you got real close, and Paolo looked amazing to start this year. You lose him for 6 weeks, and it's kind of looking scary.
Paolo does so much more. Like, he's like the ultimate glue for that team. He rebounds, he passes, he scores, he defends. Like, he's efficient. Like, he's the heart of that team. Like, you still have Jalen Suggs. He's your your defensive, key player there. But like, it just the rest of the team is just there's not much there. Like, yeah, Franz is nice. Wendell Carter Jr. is okay, but you're not gonna win games. Like, they 4 to 6 weeks. That's gonna be what, 3 games a week times six, 18. Some of those weeks you're gonna have 4 games. That's 20 games he's missing minimum. And they're not gonna be 500. Like, they're not gonna go 10-10. But they're probably not gonna make the playoffs. And it's, like, if he's out for any longer than that, like, it's gonna be real tough to even make the play-in. Never mind the playoffs. Moving on. Let's get into our next topic, which is some injuries. Couple key injuries early this season. Fantasy basketball fans out there, such as myself, really struggling here. CJ McCollum out 2 to 3 weeks. Paolo Banchero out 4 to 6 weeks. We saw Scotty Barnes out 2 to 3 weeks as well. Minimum 3 weeks, excuse me.
It's a real, Paul George is going to be able to play tomorrow against Phoenix, as of the time of recording.
Finally.
Like, Embiid's still unknown about when he's going to play.
I don't think I've seen this many injuries happen like this
It's so early.
quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It was all in the
Like,
span of like the last week. Everybody just got hurt.
yeah, like this quick into the season, it's kind of crazy, but it's, this is when we talk about like you need a bench in order to win a championship. You need guys around you. And the only good thing is the fact that it's early in the season. It's not like these teams are, hunting for a playoff spot. We've seen teams battle back from being 6 to 8 games out of the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, they find themselves in that 6-7 range. But I mean, when you talk about the Bucks and Chris Middleton and Kawhi and the Clippers, it's just like, I think it also, like, in the end, I think it just has to do with how many, there's way too many back-to-backs, in my opinion. Like, I
It's
think
so
the,
easy to get rid of it, man. It's so easy.
I, yeah.
Extend the season by like 2 weeks, get rid of Summer League,
Yeah,
And like,
you
or
don't need
preseason.
17 summer league games. Like,
You don't
just
need
give me
you
two.
don't need four or five preseason games. Give them like two or three and you're good.
Yeah, well, it's all part of the CBA, but it's just like the fact that some teams have like 12 to 14 back-to-backs is just that's ridiculous. That is way too many in a season.
Moving on, last topic here. Vince Carter got his jersey retired by the Toronto Raptors yesterday, Sacramento Kings. Raptors, at least they got the win in a, good occasion. Went to OT, barely pulled off that win, but still very nice to see. What do you think? We know Kyle Lowry is going to be having his jersey retired, but DeMar DeRozan, there's a lot of beef between Drake and him. Now saying his jersey, if he gets retired or not. As a Raptors fan, Chris, you think he gets it up there in the Raptors?
Yeah, I think DeRozan has to get his jersey eventually up there. I wanted Kyle to get his jersey retired first, but I think the Nets, they forced the Raptors' hand by saying they were going to retire his jersey in March. So it's just kind of like the Raptors had to be the first ones to do it because he never really did anything with New Jersey. So
He never did
now,
anything with anybody.
yeah.
Listen, me personally, love Vince Carter, did a lot for Canada. And I'm not upset that he got it retired. I think, they got it retired. Fine. It's not one of those things that I'm like so against it. Personally, would I have done it? No, he didn't do anything for us. And let's not forget how he left the franchise quitting. Okay. He gave up on us and averaged 14 points a game, diminished his trade value literally to the bottom of the barrel, goes to the Nets, averages 27. Okay. Listen, grateful. And I'm, like I said, they chose to retire it. I'm not upset. I'm just saying my two cents. Would I have done it? No. As for DeMar DeRozan, I'm not retiring that guy's jersey. I don't care. I do not care where this guy ranks in our franchise history. I don't. I don't. This guy has caused so much depression for every Raptors fan from 2014 to 2018. Constant just falling short in the playoffs every single time, getting benched in the fourth quarter. Like, how is your franchise player getting benched in the fourth quarter? I don't care where he is. I don't think he's first in points for the team all time. Good for you, man. Happy. Maybe do something like the Ring of Honor or something, but you don't get your jersey retired. That's just me. You did nothing. You did nothing to make that happen. You got swept by LeBron twice, back to back years, and you brought us to the Eastern Conference Finals once. When you were the number one seed multiple times, or top two or three seed multiple times. Like, get out of here, DeMar. I love you, but you weren't that good.
Yeah, from like the outside perspective, it's like if you retire DeMar's number, then like when it's all said and done, you might as well retire Scottie Barnes' number. Like it's just
Yeah, or like Pascal, like
like
players like
yeah.
that.
I don't think DeMar, like, I don't know. This, like, obviously, I don't live in Toronto religiously, but like, DeMar didn't really, like, have that big moment. It felt like where it was like, dang, like, that's going to be a moment where.
Pascal had a bigger moment than DeMar. Pascal hit the game-winning shot in Game 6 and NBA Finals over Draymond Green. DeMar
Yeah.
DeRozan, what did he do? He hit a buzzer beater in like a
He
regular game.
got the Raptors' Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
That's why he should get his jersey retired.
Don't know. Definitely a lot of players that are in that conversation, but I think the only for sure ones are Kyle Lowry right now.
Kyle Lowry should have been the first. I feel like Kyle
But
Lowry,
he's not
like,
retired yet. You can't really do it.
yeah, but like just
I wonder if
force
that's happened,
retire.
eh? Get that jersey retired before they retire.
No one's done that.
That'd be pretty sick though.
Yeah.
How baller would that be? It's like I'm still in the league, but my number up there.
But teams do that where they prevent players from wearing
It's
the
like a
number.
like no one's gonna go up to like Masai and be like, yeah, can I wear number seven? Like
It's like for the Bulls, no one has worn number one since Derrick Rose left. Like that number is going to be retired for the Bulls
it
just
should
because,
be.
yeah, like no one's worn number one. No one's worn number 10 since DeMar left the Raptors. I think that's kind of like a semi-retired number.
Ugh. If
No
I
one's
said
worn
if I'm there, I'd wear number 10. That's spike.
no one's worn number six since LeBron left the Heat. Like,
Yeah.
that's a big one.
There it
Well,
is.
jersey retirements all over the place. But until next time, I'm Tony Marinoff. Here is Evan Davis and Chris Capone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 3 of Three's Company. Catch you back next week.